Morning. All right, I'll just open us up in prayer and we'll start today. Heavenly Father, just thank you once more for today. Just thank you once more for gathering here for this first EMP of this week. Just pray that you'll speak to us through your devotional, through your message today, and may the words be encouraging for us and be strength for us as we start this week in you. We thank you, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if we turn to our one books, we'll be looking at today, Tuesday, 13th of March. The title of the devotional is called Taking Offense by Pastor Tony Reed of The Vine. So I'll just start by reading the passage from the book and reading the devotional as well, and then we'll go from there. So it says, he left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. That was Mark 6, 1-13. We Christians often seem to be a rather touchy lot. We can take offense at others so easily. However, true worship often means discerning God's truth through the disturbing chaos of life. Sometimes the uncomfortable packaging of the circumstances can hide a valuable gem of truth that we need to find. In Mark 6, Jesus' family and friends saw him through two familiar eyes, so they were offended at him. He wasn't the pastor, he hadn't been to Bible school. Who did he think he was? The consequence of their prejudice was startling. He could do no mighty work there, says verse 5. Jesus' response was equally decisive. He didn't stick around to be discouraged, instead he pressed on with his mission. The results were equally startling. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Verse 13. So again, just as I was reading through the passage this morning, I think there were just two sort of main sections here that we see as Mark describes. One is the what I guess they call the teaching at Nazareth, where Jesus goes back to his hometown to really teach at the synagogue, and then from there, there's a discourse where his family members and his friends take offense at his ministry. Even though they recognize his power there, they take offense because they know who he is, or they think they know who he is. And the second part of this passage is talking about Jesus then doing his work by sending out the 12. I noticed that Mark once again expounds on the matter where Jesus's teaching was different from other people's teaching. I mean, I think he talked about it before as well earlier on, where he goes to a synagogue and they say, you know, who is this man who speaks with such authority? And here again, even in his hometown, they recognize that, you know, they grew up with this guy, and yet he's come back to speak on the Sunday service effectively. And not only does he speak with wisdom, but he also speaks with demonstration. Deeds of power of his hands are sort of demonstrated in that place. This is why Jesus was so different to other speakers, and why at the time, you know, it stirred something in their hearts which other speakers hadn't done. But yet, as we see here, even though initially they sort of get to receive that word, receive that message, be ministered to, external circumstances start to take over. So they start looking at who he is. They start looking at, wow, this man isn't even schooled or trained. This man is someone that we grew up with. We recognize him as a boy and his family with us. And that starts to take over the fact that they're receiving a good ministry. In their hearts and in their minds, they recognize, how, wow, something's going on. You know, this guy, this man is speaking with authority, and it's not from his teaching, because we know he hasn't been to school, but it must be something sort of divine. And yet, the prejudices of their mind take over that ministry that they're receiving. And this is one of the things that I really sort of took from this passage, is that as Christians, as we walk in our faith, we can start getting some sort of, I just sort of reckoned it sort of spiritual pride, where as we grow in our Christian faith, when we're young in our faith and we're new, whoever ministers to us, we're just blessed. It could be any brother or sister in our house church, could be a friend, and we really truly receive God's grace through that. But I guess as we sort of walk in our faith and we start to be a bit more learned of the Bible, start to be a bit more aware of what worship is and what prayer is, we start to maybe shift our focus towards, I can only be ministered to by certain types of people. I can only be ministered to by a pastor. I can only be ministered by someone who is on the IP team. And, you know, that is, it just shows here it's dangerous, because Jesus, in so many passages in the Gospels, he was amazed at a lot of people's belief and faith. And he says that many times. In the previous passage, he says to the woman with the sort of the bleeding and the healing, says, "Your faith has healed you." And that was the thing that really amazed him the most. And I think this is one of the very few instances where he's actually amazed at their lack of faith, at their unbelief. And that really stops, as it says, him doing the fullness of his work. And I find that for us as well, if we start taking our eyes off who is doing the ministry, and that's God through the Holy Spirit, and start looking at the person, we can sometimes not receive the fullness of that ministry. I still marvel at myself as well, where, you know, when a great speaker comes into town or a great prophetic minister comes into town, I'm so eager to receive prayer, so eager to go to that conference. And yet when someone who I may not even heard of is here on a weekend, or someone I may not even heard of is speaking, my heart is not as passionate. And I recognize in myself that that's just a prejudice. I'm just thinking, well, I've heard of that person. I've heard of Bill Johnson. I've heard of, you know, Charles Craft and all those things, and they must be a great minister. And yet, you know, I was recognized even last year, yet Pastor Eugene came to speak to us, and it was like, P. Eugene, yeah, I mean, I've heard of him through Pastor Sam, but sometimes the passion is not quite as there, because the name's not there, the recognition is not there. And yet, you know, as many of you know, it's in those other moments that God does some amazing, amazing ministry and can speak through anyone. As I was just downloading on the passage again, I was reminded of another thing from here, is that God, as I said, can use anyone. And in Numbers, in Numbers 22, even like the prophet, the Gentile prophet Balaam, God spoke through a donkey. So I was thinking, wow, you know, who am I to be prejudiced as to who can minister to me when it's God doing the ministering and it's the Holy Spirit doing the ministering? If you can speak to a prophet through a donkey, then you can use anyone in this world. You can use any person in the congregation. You can use any person in our workplace. You know, God can use anyone that he pleases. And on the flip side, I would say that's really sort of encouraging for us. You know, just in line with what God's doing, in line with his work, he can use us. You know, we don't have to be learned. We don't have to go to Bible school. He can use, in the world's view, sort of common people, bankers, lawyers, teachers, students, to do his work. And so, you know, sometimes we don't have to feel overdaunted to think that I need to be a pastor or a servant of God or a missionary to be able to minister to someone. So I just want you to take courage with that. I think the other thing I got from the second piece, which I just want to share with you, is in verse sort of 7, the second part of the second sentence of the second paragraph, it says, "He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits." God calls us to minister together. I like the way he doesn't send out people individually and says, you know, just go and do your work, but he calls out two by two. And in Ecclesiastes, you know, Solomon says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up." And so, you know, in a community as we are here at church, in a community that we have in house church, sometimes we can feel burdened ministering to someone or praying for someone. But God, here again, you know, he recognized that partnership is what he's calling for. As Pastor Sam mentioned at the weekend, you know, partnership with God is what he's calling for in ministry. But he also calls us to partnership with each other. You know, he's not just sending, he's not equipping us individually and saying, hey, just go and do your own work, sort of live in that peace and take all that burden, but he's saying, hey, find people. Find people in your community that you can connect with and can do the ministry together. Find people who have a similar heart for a vision that God's given to you, whether it's marketplace ministry or missions or healing or the well. And, you know, there's so many people around here who we may not know now, but they may have such a similar heart desire from God for a certain piece of work that he wants done in Hong Kong. So, you know, just keep your eyes open and look for those people and find partnership in that, because God calls us to minister together as brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, when one person gets discouraged, he can be encouraged by, or they can be encouraged by the other. You know, when one person is more passionate than the other person, get led along. So, you know, it's a tandem thing. It's a ministry thing. It's a community thing. So please be encouraged by that. And also the final thing is, I find here, if I imagine what the disciples must have been thinking when he gave them the instructions. I mean, he basically said, go on this journey, go to these villages, and basically don't take anything with you. So go and just basically do my work. And again, we find, as at the end of the passage, he said, you know, they did some amazing things. They cast out demons, they healed. And as Jesus sent that command, as P. Sam once again said, Rhema, the ability to do that work was sent with them. You know, he gave them authority over the enemy. He gave them the authority to heal. He gave them even basically gave them the command not to worry. Now you go, you'll be fed, you'll be looked after, you'll be clothed and housed. Don't worry about those other things. You know, as Matthew says, you know, be seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. Don't worry about what to eat. Don't worry about what to wear. Just go and do his work, and the other stuff I'll take care of. And again, I hope that encourages us as we read that, and it encourages me to know that if God is calling us to do something, sometimes we lose our focus on what he wants us to do and start thinking about the external things, like, oh, have I got, just for example, on we're coming up to mission season this year, and sometimes we can get caught up a little bit on, I wouldn't say less important things, but things maybe which God doesn't want us to focus on as much, like the cost of going on a trip, or how many clothes I have to take, you know, I'm going to this country, what do I wear and stuff. And there's all these things that we start thinking about and sometimes can consume our minds. But I really sense that God, through here, reminding me, and it's hopefully reminding us, that really focus on what the work he's telling us to do. All that other stuff is effectively secondary. I mean, it does matter to us, obviously, but God will take care of it. And also, even going to another country and ministering there, sometimes we can be daunted as we prepare ourselves. But as an act of obedience, once we step out, God gives that authority to go and minister and to do the work. And on a final note, sort of as we are thinking about missions coming up this summer, I still find it amazing how in our community here, whether a new Christian or an old Christian, when you go abroad to the mission field, whatever you say, they're so easy to receive that. It's almost like dialoguing what Jesus says here, basically, that wherever he goes, the prophet, he's honored, and what he teaches, what he ministers is received and well received, and there's fruit from that. And yet when he's in his hometown setting, because of they know who he is, it's not the case. And I find that with missions here as well. You know, we go as groups of lay people, as groups of pastors, and we go to different countries and been on trips with many people here in this room, whether it's to Uzbekistan or Japan or Cambodia or Indonesia. And when you go, simply by the fact that you're there, the people that are receiving your ministry are really blessed. And you may not think, what have I got to offer? But just being there, they're really blessed. I just want to encourage you that blessing also applies here. But in your house church, in your friends, in your community, in your colleagues, you know, you can still minister. But I want us individually to start really dialoguing with God and saying, if I'm being a stumbling block to others ministering to me, then how can I be used as well? So really just to say, you know, you need to be receptive to receive the ministry of your friends and your family, and I know God's going to use you to minister to others as he does in the mission field. And so, just to wrap up on that, I think Jisun's going to lead. I know the Pastor Reed really talks about this area of we can take offense at what people say to us, a style of ministry, a person who's ministering, you know, that they're not learned. And I just want us to really just check our hearts, just to recognize once more that we can receive prayer from anyone. We can be blessed by anyone. It doesn't have to be just the pastors. It doesn't have to be just the leaders. It can be a friend or a family colleague. And whether there's anything in our hearts that are causing us not to receive the fullness of his ministry by that, by potential prejudice there. And also to be encouraged that we can also be used by God. Each and every one of us as well. You know, it doesn't have to be a learned Bible scholar. But Jesus was a carpenter. The disciples were fishermen, you know, as workplace ministers, as mums, as wives, as students, you know, we can be used by God. And so just to be encouraged by that as well. So let's just reflect on those points as Jesus, as Chizan leads us in the song of worship.
Every hour, every moment, Lord, I want.
So before we go into corporate prayer, let's just, yeah, once more reflect and dialogue with God. If there's any areas of our lives where we have this prejudice, this spiritual prejudice, this religious prejudice, where God is ministering, but we're blocking that ministry just through our minds and through what we perceive with our own eyes. And also, secondly, let's just take courage as well. That when God calls you to do something, He'll equip you in every single way. He'll give you authority. He'll give you all the needs and means to do that work. And also, you know, He'll give you people alongside you to come and help you to minister, whether it's to family, to friends, or whether it's here in church as well. So let's just reflect and also be encouraged during this time. With that, let's also cover Pastor Tony Reed and the Vine Church. He was the writer of this devotional. Each morning we're going to be sort of praying for the other churches here in Hong Kong. Now, there are many churches and many different styles, but let's just cover him and cover their church and bless them that they really do the work that God's called them to do here in Hong Kong. Let's just cover the Vine Church right now. Go to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for the family members of our congregation who are going through illnesses. We have growth to taking chemo and, you know, radiotherapy, and also they're just who are ill and sick. Let's just pray for God's healing hand to be with them, that God will really come in and really just touch the lives of our community here through healing, through the therapy, through His peace and His grace, and also for the family members who are sort of going through this tough time. Let's just cover them as well right now. Thank you. we'll just continue to pray for those who are seeking salvation as well, for those who are sick in our community, and for those who are seeking work and jobs. Let's just pray covering over our church members there as well. Turn to our mission focus as well. Let's just bless the nation of Hong Kong. We're all living here and residents in this place. Let's just really cover Hong Kong, especially the election coming up, that godly leaders are raised up in the government here. We know there's so much going on in this nation and its importance in Asia and China. But let's just pray for godly leaders, leaders like Daniel and David and Joseph, to rise up in that government, in that cabinet, so that this nation, you know, will feel the fullness of God's presence and His kingdom will invade this place as those leaders make, you know, godly and righteous decisions in their decision-making process. Let's also pray for China. Let's pray for SP Beijing and Pastor Sam, Kim and Annie and Chris and Amy and Mary as well, that God continues to use them to minister in that city, in that nation, that church really starts to bear fruit in the seasons to come. Let's pray for the Chongs, Jane and John and the family, that God uses them in their ministry, for Matt and Nate's parents, for the Basarabas, Leanne Cheng, who was here over the revival weekend, that she, you know, God continues to speak and use her, and also for the Chi Chi Ho kids and the government churches. Let's really cover the nation of Hong Kong and China, the nation that where we reside and we receive so much blessing from. Let's just pull back some of that by praying for them and covering them. Let's also pray for our SP staff. Let's cover Pastor Sam and Lisa, for Pastor Eugene and Pastor Carol and Pastor Sophia, Pastor Nate, Kenny and Bonnie and Monica and Juhi. Let's just pray that yeah, God just really pours into our staff. Whatever they're going through, his grace is sufficient for them. And he continues to use them in bigger and greater ways in the seasons to come to bless Hong Kong through this community of SP. Let's pray for the Elder Board and the Missions Committee as well. Let's just cover them with wisdom and discernment for the decisions they need to make, and that God continues to really just use them humbly and wholeheartedly to do his kingdom work here at SP. Let's just cover the leadership boards right now. Cover the Febe ministry. Let's pray for Pastor Salamat and the leaders there, and let's just pray that God continues to just grow that ministry and do such an amazing work in the Indonesian community here in Hong Kong, for the outreach that they do, for the evangelism and discipleship. Let's just cover that ministry and there's many sisters who are serving there. Let's pray also for the Korean church. Let's pray for the pastor and the leaders there as they transition into new things as well. Let's just cover these two churches and ministries. Lift up the house churches that are meeting tonight. Let's pray for Lan Kwai Fong and Old Peak and Harbourside, Seymour and Star Street. Let's pray for the leaders. Let's pray for those who are serving. Let's pray for the members that are turning up. Let's just pray that each of these places tonight just has such a wonderful time of discussion, of fellowship. There's a wonderful sense of community, and that people come out of these meetings just refreshed and ready to go for the rest of the week. Let's just bless each and every one of the house churches that are meeting tonight. Father, just thank you once more for today. I thank you once more for the start of this week, and you know, for new things and better things to come each day. For your mercies are renewed every morning, Lord. And so, Lord, we lift this time up to you. difficult, Father, I just pray for your encouragement once again through your word today, that whatever what situation we're in, you know, whatever vocational background we come from, we know that you can use us. And as you call to use us, and as we heed that call, you'll provide us and equip us with all we need to do your work. For the authority that you have, Lord Father, you just hand that over to us, and you allow us to do things that we can't do of ourselves. So let us just have strength in that, Lord Father. Give us courage this day to be your hands and your feet in the city. Give us courage this day to be your ministers to the places that we go to recognize, Lord Father, that you are there with us. It's a partnership. And there are other people around us as well in this community to help us along that way. So Lord, I thank you for today. I just pray that you'll bless each and every one of the members who are here this morning. Give them a wonderful day at work and in their home places. May they truly be able to just glorify you through their deeds and their acts. So we lift this time up to you. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.